As we prepare to hear the word read and proclaimed, let us pray for illumination. Holy Spirit, open our minds and hearts that we may hear the word and wisdom of God. Amen. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Amos. Hear this, you trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain? And the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah smaller and the shekel heavier and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The time is surely coming, says the Lord, when the one who plows shall catch up with the one who reaps, and the treader of grapes with the one who sows the seed. The mountains shall drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine, and they shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them upon their land, and they shall never again be plucked up out of the land that I have given them, says the Lord your God. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, bring your spirit among us in power and in might, in grace, in mercy, and in peace. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When it comes to my Sunday morning preaching, I hope it is true that on some weeks, what you get here is a well-formed, considered, and inspiring exposition of the Christian faith. And I know that there are other weeks when what you get is not that, but more an honest look at what is stumbling around in my mind as I wrestle with matters of faith. And today will be one of those. I'm at peace with that. I believe strongly that a part of my calling is to allow you to watch me wrestle with faith. So in today's sermon, I'm going to go a decidedly different direction than I thought I might when I put this scripture on the schedule, and that's because some of the things about our current study of Sabbath this summer have been doing their work on me. The passage that we read today in the book of Amos is a pointed critique of greed and the desire for too much. It is about ways that taking more than one's share harm vulnerable people and mess up society. The prophet's critique is completely true and has lots of applications. The pursuit of too much harms people who have too little, and it also harms the souls of those who have too much and who are trying to fill up their lives with the wrong things. There is so much to preach about here. And yet, rather than talking about that as an isolated issue, I'm finding myself drawn to thread this together with some of the other things we've been saying about Sabbath this summer to see if any of that is really true. So where I'd like to start is to give you a little reminder of where we've been so far, and then look at this passage from Amos about too much and ask if what we have been telling you about Sabbath can do anything to keep us from our greedy pursuits of too much. Here's a quick review. Several weeks ago, Amy started us out with a simple idea that Sabbath is not an accomplishment, but rather it is a practice. Sabbath is a habit we need to cultivate and tend to throughout our spiritual lives. The following week, I suggested that we need to rethink our usual assumption about Sabbath. Instead of thinking about Sabbath as a reward we get at the end of our work, we need to think about it as a gift that God gives us first, without which we can't really do anything else. The next week, I talked about Sabbath as resistance. I suggested that Sabbath is not doing nothing, as you may suppose, but rather Sabbath is a kind of protest against the hectic, busy, and thoughtless nature of so much of life in the world where we live. The following week, I told you that the Ten Commandments, foundational articles of our faith, reinforce that resistance by inviting us into a better life under the guidance of Sabbath. The first three commandments are about loving God. The last six commandments are about loving our neighbors. And the fourth and longest commandment by far, the practice of Sabbath, is what holds together love of God and love of neighbor. And then last week, our Montreat youth led us in worship, and David Annette offered a beautiful reflection on Jesus' wisdom not to worry about so many meaningless little things, and instead to slow down enough to consider the beauty of nature, the clothing God gives to the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, and the adornment that God gives to them. Can we slow down enough to take notice of it and of so many other beautiful things in life? Practice, not perfection. Put Sabbath first. Love God and love your neighbor. Slow down and notice God's beautiful world. In all of these ideas, Sabbath is about keeping it simple. Today we come to Amos chapter 8. This lesson for today is a real smack in the face. Along with all of these nice poetic ideas we've been saying about Sabbath, Amos says something that he tells us about Sabbath. He says that there is a lot of suffering in the world and it cannot be ignored. And often injustice is the result of those who resist Sabbath by wanting too much and taking too much and doing too much and refusing rest for themselves as they also refuse to give rest to others. Hear it again. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring ruin to the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah smaller and the shekel heavier and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, selling the sweepings of the wheat. Listen again to these words as they come in Eugene Peterson's modern paraphrase, The Message. Listen to this, you who walk over the weak, you who treat poor people as less than nothing, who say, when's my next paycheck coming so I can go out and live it up? How long till the weekend when I can go out and have a good time? Who give little and take much and never do an honest day's work? You exploit the poor, using them, and then when they're used up, you discard them. Listen once more to this version, this one I call the New Revised AF version. Listen, all of us who prefer not to think about things that make us unsettled, who ask, when will we stop talking about Sabbath so I can get back to work? When will church be over so I can pull out my phone and start scrolling again? Listen, we who accumulate wealth on the market and call it work, when the world's hardest workers enjoy no investment income, the days are surely coming when in these ways and so many others, we will be forced to reckon with the injustices we prefer to ignore. This indictment from the prophet Amos makes me think hard about greed. Yes. And in these days of Sabbath, it has also been making me wonder about so many misguided ways we misuse our time, striving for too much. I wonder if our busyness, if our lack of groundedness, if our yearnings to do so much are actually harming other people and contributing to a world of injustice. Does it all begin with our longing for too much? I think about too much in terms of lots of things. I think about too much in terms of activities. The parent who can't choose between church, sports, music lessons, and a family obligation because all of them are scheduled at the same time. I think about too much in terms of materialism, our days wasting away, scanning our phones for the very best outfit, the very best car, the very best kitchen remodel, the very best deal on anything, only to find out that these efforts to optimize don't bring us any happiness and waste lots of our time. I think about too much in terms of work, the insane hours that so many of us keep in our professional lives, the insatiable appetite of bosses and supervisors for more and more productivity. Why? So we can spend more time shopping for more stuff? I think about too much in terms of our personal health, our unreasonable quests for fitness or beauty, our unwillingness to come to terms with the realities of aging, the real discomforts and pains in our bodies that take the joy out of everything else. It is too much. I think of too much in terms of our mental and our spiritual health, the anxieties and depressions, the deaths of despair, the burdens we feel that make us just want to give up. I think about too much in our responsibility to others, the endless list of things that deserve our concern, the plight of people in war zones, the scourge of poverty and gun violence in our cities, the children who grow up at who show up at school hungry after having slept in the car. And I think about too much in terms of news and media and all the things that appear on our little devices that we could not keep up with if there were 72 hours in every single day. It is exhausting. It is too much. If we, who have so many choices, in life, if we choose to live in these ways, burdened by these things, as if there is nothing else we can do, of course the world is unjust and oppressive. No wonder there seems to be no time for justice. What is a faithful person to do? So those are some of the things that I have been wondering about. And here's the way I've been wondering about them. About a month ago, when we were just beginning these Sabbath exercises, I attended a workshop where somebody handed me a guide, a kind of journaling practice for every day. I decided to try it as a part of my daily routine and this summer's Sabbath disciplines, as a way of thinking through my day through a lens of faith. With the help of this guide, I set priorities for my day and I preview my schedule. I name things I'm grateful for and other things that I'm looking forward to. I reflect, celebrating times when I felt closeness with others and with God, and I confess things that drew me away from God and from others. It sounds like a lot, but it only takes 5 or 10 minutes. Here's a discovery I made. I discovered that when my priorities were about getting something done, following the guide made me feel even worse. Even worse. It didn't work. It made me feel worse about all of those things that I mentioned before as examples of too much. If I prioritized something that I was supposed to get done, and then life got in the way, which happens to me a lot, and I couldn't get to it, it was almost like I was cataloging my failures and disappointments and then setting aside time to meditate upon them. But then a friend I trust suggested that I try something a little different. I have found myself changing my practice in a way I'm not sure will work, but I'm curious about it. And I wonder how it will strike you. The priorities I'm naming now, the priorities are no longer about a task I wish to accomplish. Instead, they are about ways of being that I wish to cultivate in my life. And they are mostly those Sabbath practices we have been talking about. I'm trying to practice what I preach. Here's what I mean. I've been trying to look at each day not as something to do perfectly, but as a way of life to practice. I've been trying to put Sabbath first, looking at the guide as time I can spend with God at the start of my day. I name it as a priority to think about loving God and loving neighbor, to at least say those words to myself several times a day, to stop and think about it. I try to slow down throughout my day to observe beauty in the world around me and in the people I encounter in my day. I am still very much aware of all the things I must do, the activities that demand my attention, that always feel like too much. I am still aware of the world, social problems, the endless number of things that require service and advocacy, the struggles that surround so many people I know, constantly aware that there is no way that I can solve all of those problems. But I wonder if I'm getting closer to trusting that if my priorities are not about to-dos and accomplishments, but if my priorities are instead about centering my life in God, might my life start to make more sense? And when I read that passage from Amos, I wonder if a life centered in God would actually be a greater help to others. Don't we all know people who think they are good, but who don't even have enough time to slow down and listen? I've been wondering lately if I'm one of those people. What about you? This experiment I've been doing, it is not of my own creation. It is grounded in Christian tradition, the tradition we all share. And if you are interested in joining me and hearing more about this experiment, I will again be in the church's social hall tomorrow at 8:15 in the morning. And I am happy to introduce whoever shows up to the details of the guide I have been following and experimenting with, this daily prayer practice to help me be grounded in a world of too much. If you cannot come, that's fine too. The invitation is simple. I've said it several times already. Try looking at your day as not a list of tasks to perfect, but as a chance to practice life. Try taking time at the start of your day for Sabbath. Not rest you can earn at the end of the day, but rest you begin with as a gift from God. Try taking a pause throughout your day, whenever you can, to remind yourself to love God and to love your neighbor. Try paying less attention to the worries that surround us, and instead pay attention to the beauty of God's world around you. And then ask, because this is an experiment, and let me know honestly. Do you think you're doing more for the good of the world and the causes of justice when you slow down from your racing and stay grounded in these things of God? I wonder. Amen.